y'all better tune in.
Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all better tune in and tell a friend that the Playboy comedy Mr. Trey Love is in. It is 3 o'clock p.m., January 23rd, y'all. I'm live from the Sugar Shack. I can't even tell you the last time I did a podcast, y'all. It's been so long, you know what I mean? But it was cool to be away for a while, y'all. I had to collect myself, collect some fans, collect the vibes, regroup so I could retroop, you know what I'm saying? Restrap so I could get back. Y'all know how it is, man. But your boy is back. He's in full effect, man. I'm ready to make so many things happen, man. If you've been really paying attention and watching how God has blessed me, y'all, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I had open heart surgery July 7th, 2014. I went into a coma until July 11th, but fortunately it wasn't in God's plan for me to leave this planet. I'm still here. I'm still loud, proud, you know what I'm saying, still ready to do my thing and move and shine like the star that I am, man. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play my song. I'm going to rock her, y'all. And then from there, we're going to get right into the show. On today's show, we will be discussing inner racism, self-hate, black-on-black crime, and mental slavery. We will be discussing how after watching Colored Girls and Light-Complected Girls, you know, the show that was on the OWN Network last week, it really provoked me to do this show. So we're going to get down, man. I have my special guest, Mr. Tony Muhammad, who is also my brother, past grandmaster, Tony Muhammad, who's going to grace us with his presence on this show today. So we're going to go ahead and play this one quick song, y'all, and then we're going to get down for our crown. Y'all know how we do.
I'm a rock her. L.A., Vegas, connect, baby. I'm gon' rock her, I'm gon' roll her, Facebook her so I can poke her. Gon' make sure you know my name, your world game is my claim to fame. Going for mine, you do the same. Show up, show out, show no shame. It's all enough for everybody. Get up, get down, and on a party. Drink Bacardi, let's get naughty. Big fun, coast to coast, L.A. shawty. ATL, M.I.A. Can't forget Chi-Town, baby. Anyway, this beat is sick. Grab a chick, take her pick. If she's sexy, give her it. It. Order a shot for honey chow. Meanwhile, I take a drink, then I think. Do the telly, rub my belly. Put your number in my belly. Grab a hand, say let's go. Cause you know I got a show. You gave me some, but I won't hold. Make your body shake and quiver. Good loving, I deliver. Are you freaky? I got mirror. Can I make it any clearer? Bring your sexy over here to see my friend, but I ain't with her. Don't you worry, you just hurry. Got a max so I can bury me into you. That's how I do. In a few, I pursue, I think they love you.
Damn.
Just a thought, maybe fact, maybe fiction. Right now, I'm on a mission, like a fighter with bad intentions. Did I mention? It doesn't matter, your wish is my goal. I will shock your soul, plus hard like a revolver, and be the problem solver like a crackhead. I'm a rocker, I'm a rocker.
Right now, y'all. I'm a rider. I'm a rider.
rock her.
Take it home, baby.
Y'all better tune in, tell a friend, the Playboy Comedy, Mr. Trey Love is in. Y'all, we gonna get right down to it. After watching For Color Girls and after watching For Light Girls on the OWN Network, I really appreciate the work that Oprah's doing out here, really making our voices heard and making it being heard from different angles. They just put Selma out in theaters. I'm actually jealous of the cat that's getting to play Dr. Martin Luther King. Y'all know that's my role, but we're going to let him have it. I'm going to make sure I go see that, though, and support Oprah and what she's doing. I'm going to go ahead, y'all. We're not going to waste no more time because I already got other people calling in. This is going to be a very hot subject we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about inner racism. We're going to be talking about self-hate, black-on-black crime, light-skin versus dark-skin. We're about to get into all that. And my special guest today is none other than past Grandmaster, the Honorable Mr. Tony Muhammad. I'm going to tell you something, y'all. Y'all better get ready because it's on. His brother, no chaser, going to give it to us. And hopefully today he can deliver the messages that will assist us in breaking ourselves out of this mental slavery and let's start loving who we are again. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the panel my special guest, past Grandmaster Tony Muhammad. Tony, how you
Good
doing
evening.
Today? Welcome to the panel. Good evening. How are
I'm
you?
I'm all
sir?
Right. I'm okay, and I'm blessed, and I appreciate this offer.
Oh, man, we really glad to have you in today. I actually have a guest already, somebody on the line that wants to talk with us, but what I want to do is I've already introduced the people to what we're going to be talking about today. How do you feel about after watching For Color Girls and after watching For Light Girls? You know, give us your take on the TV shows and what you think we can do to improve our relationships as black people towards each other.
First of all, we got to realize that we're in a system. A system that only uses us for one thing. The system is to build their system. Mm. And when you try to incorporate yourself into another system that keeps continually rejecting you, then you got issues.
Wow.
The thing I look at is segregation was the worst thing to happen to us. And a lot of people say, well, what are you talking about? I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, once upon a time, you had your own movie theater,
right.
Your own hospital. You built cars, your own bus, your own transportation. And now you're asking somebody for a job when you have the creative mind to create jobs for yourself. You go to school, you get your education, but you come out and you don't have a job. Why? Don't you have an education to create a job? It doesn't make sense. It's a system, and we got to learn that if the system keeps rejecting you, then you build your own system. You used to have Miss
wow.
Black America. Whatever happened to that?
Whoa.
And now you're talking about Mr. Black, Miss America. So now Miss America, Miss Black America is gone, so you don't have a queen to look after of no more.
Wow.
You Miss America.
Wow.
You have become
wow.
westernized and all of that. So they don't want you. If they wanted you, then you would be more acceptable. Why are you over in your
right.
own community? Everywhere you go, you're in the South, Southeast San Diego, Southlands Los Angeles, South this, South that. Why? You're trying to escape to get to the North.
Wow.
Look at the system. There's a system. Keep running back to it. You know, I want to be a part of it. Why I can't live over here? If you want to clean up your own neighborhood, and I tell you what, they'll
right.
be trying to get into your neighborhood.
That's
but you
right.
won't do that
because
right. you want to stay on the corner. You want to slang.
Mm.
Some of our most brilliant minds.
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Some of our most brilliant minds are those who stand on the corner slanging. You know why? Because they're watching everything that goes on. Everything.
Wow.
And they're putting,
wow.
they're counting, they're selling, they're doing it all. They're doing just like the stock market guys do. You know, they
yep.
know when the market's going to go up. They know when it's hot. They know when it goes
wow.
down. They know how to drop their prices. They know when to sell,
wow.
when to buy. The same thing. The idea is that you're making pennies and they're making millions. That's the
wow.
difference.
Wow.
So now,
you know,
so now they want.
No, I wanted to interject real quick and kind of amen your point. A person who was very vital in just how I am as a man, my great-grandfather, he lived to be 107 years old. He died in 1992. And I used to read the Bible to him, and we used to talk. And it's so ironic. You, him, and a few other people, I've all heard say the same exact thing. And Dr. Malachi Z. York out of Georgia, some people need to look him up and find out who our current day Black history makers are. They all said that segregation was bad for black people because prior to segregation, we had no one to depend on but each other. You said something when we were talking, having our private conversation the other day about it takes a village. See, in the older black community, before they segregated, if you did something you didn't have your business, you got your butt whooped from one end of the block all the way to the other. And your mama told everybody, if you catch him doing something, he ain't got no business doing it. You catch him doing something, they ain't got no business doing it. Your butt had to get in trouble. And that's because, see, again, what it goes back to is we police each other. So this Michael Brown and, you know, these white police officers killing black people. Just imagine if it was, say, us black people policing ourselves, we would be responsible for ourselves. You see what I'm saying? So that's where you come in, where the therapy and things of just community organizations and giving our kids something to do within the black community. And my great-grandfather, he always used to say that segregation was what started the downfall of black people because, again, because I need to amen what you just said. We find ourselves, black people, trying to fit into a system that is not designed for you. Case in point, let me give a case. Like, I live out in North Hollywood, you know, and sometimes I'll go over to Burbank and Glendale, you know, to eat and wine and dine and do my thing. But when I go into, say, a beauty shop, they don't have the kind of grease I need. They don't have no sulfate in there. You know what I mean? They don't have the stuff that I need for my hair. They don't have the shea butter that I need. They don't have the type of tea candles and things I like to burn. So for my culture and what I'm used to being an African-American man, it's not racism. It's just things that I need in order to make my skin right, in order to make me feel better, in order to make me sleep well at night, in order for me to be able to use the products that I'm used to. So just like you said, the segregation, now you have us doing things. When they were showing it on TV, the thing for light girls, you got black women out there putting cream on their face to make themselves lighter. You know what I mean?
To
take away from the beauty that you were born with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? So go ahead. I'm going to let you comment, then I'm going to go to a song, and we got a caller on the line. I want to see who's calling and let them get their opinion in. But I want you to also tag on what I just said before I play a song.
Well, what you're saying is exactly right. Until we learn that the system continues to reject you, then we can start concentrating and building your own. People saying, well, why do you want to segregate? Why do you want to get away? Well, why not? They keep kicking my behind.
Right.
You know, I don't go where I don't go where I'm not welcome. If you tell me that I'm not welcome in your house, I'm not going to come in your house anymore, period.
Never again.
But
yep.
We keep trying to go into a house that keeps closing the door. Well, God opened another door. Well, you know what? I'm tired of praying. Get up off my knees and put my prayers to action, and then I can say what God has done because he's given me the strength to do it. The first thing we want to say, well, I'm waiting on God. Well, God waiting on you because you have already prayed. Now do something.
Wow. Wow.
Like they said, if you feel froggy, jump.
If you're feeling froggy, leap. All right, Past Grandmaster, because I have to address you properly every time I speak to you, because one thing I want to teach to the youth is that what we have to do is we have to respect our elders. We have to start respecting, because see what's going to happen, y'all, and I'm talking to my younger brothers and sisters. When we respect our elders, they love us already. But see, we're tricked into thinking they don't, because we've allowed their mannerisms and the way, say, an OG gets down to offend us. But when we start respecting them, it opens up the love. So every time I address my past grandmaster, he will either be addressed as past grandmaster, he will be addressed as mister, he will be addressed as sir. I want the youth to listen to that, because that's going to be something that we all need to do in order to better ourselves and move to the future. I'm going to go ahead and play this next song, y'all, and then we're going to come back and see who our special guest is that would like to spend some time talking to Mr. Tony Muhammad.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. But for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? As for me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise. Who you know fresher than hoe? Riddle me that.
The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking at. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap great and dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberry still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open at hand with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace them. With cheap imitation. From these generation, I get an encore. Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn ball. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
What the hell are you waiting for?
Look what you made me do. Look what I made for you. If I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drop a couple of hits, look how they wait for you. From Marcy to Madison Square, so the only thing that matters is just a matter of years.
Yeah.
As fate will have it, J status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like George, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to smithereens. Cops have to take one for your team. And I need you to remember one thing.
One thing.
I came, I saw, I conquered. From record sale, sold out concert. So motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream till your lungs can soar.
Ow! It's star time. This man is mean. He's killing all y'all jackers. Y'all want more than Jigga Man. Well, if y'all want more than Jigga Man, then I need y'all to help me bring him back to the stage. Say ho. Come on, say it.
Young did it to death, you gotta love it. Record company told me I couldn't cut it. Now look at me, all star studded. Got four with one paw like a putted. All cause the shit I uttered was utterly ridiculous. How sick is this? You want the bank, send Kanye chain, send Justin Dust, send Hypocrite. Then you got spit. Feel something like this. Woo, woo.
What the hell are you waiting for?
Better tune in and tell a friend that the Playboy comedy Mr. Trey Love is in. blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife, or you can call 310-861-2397. I have on the line now two special guests, but my first special guest who's going to give it to us and lay it down on us, you know, drop some of this knowledge and kind of assist us in breaking the system that we've been enacted into and, you know, try to help us to come together and stop being against each other. And the next guest I have on the line is a perfect example of unity. He's a good friend of mine. He's a hilarious comedian. And, I mean, the irony is he's white, and he's known on the black circuit. So I'm going to bring Mr. Tony Muhammad back in. He's going to discuss some things with us. And then from there, I'm going to let Roger Rob get in and give his opinion and his feel on being around a lot of us African-American comics. You know what I mean? We're getting it down today, y'all. It's going down. But before I bring them on, let me give everybody an update on what I got going on. For those of you who have been following my Facebook page, facebook.com/LewisSmith, LouisSmith, please go to check it out, because on February 6th, 2015, that's a Friday night, that's two Fridays from now, we're having fun night at 471 West 41st Place. That's on 41st and Figueroa in L.A., y'all. It's going to be fun night. Cards, dominoes, we're going to have a live DJ, $5 entry, $3.50 for some chicken and fries. Man, it's going down. You know, we're going to keep it affordable. We're going to keep it fun. It's going to be fun night. It's going down. I'll be there to entertain you. Also, February 13th, that's the day before Valentine's Day, I will be doing a Valentine's Day function at King Solomon's Lodge, y'all. King Solomon's Lodge is located in Pasadena. Let me go on my Facebook page and get the exact information for you guys real quick. But again, before I do that, February 14th, which is specifically Valentine's Day, I'm going to be doing a big Valentine's Day comedy show, Champagne Toast, $10 a ticket, y'all. They're going to have dinner. My boy Van, my deputy grandmaster, is going to be cooking, so it's going down, man. He's an excellent cook, boy. They love his meat. Ah, y'all get it right. The ladies love his meat. We're going to be doing that at the same place, 471 West 41st Street. February the 13th, showtime, 8:30, 2540 North Fair Oaks Lane. That's in Altadena, California, 91001. Please come out, man. If you're in the Pasadena area, Altadena area, we got a fly comedy show going on over there. If you're in the next day, the 14th on Valentine's Day, if you're right here in L.A., we got the same thing lined up for you. Matter of fact, I might put Roger Ride on that show, man. He's an excellent brother, funny comedian, man. So don't forget, y'all, February 6th is fun night at St. Anthony's Grand Lodge. February 13th is going to be Valentine's Day dinner and comedy show at 2540 North Fair Oaks, Altadena, California, 91001. And then Valentine's Day dinner and champagne toast on Valentine's Day at 471 West 41st Street. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all got to forgive me. I'm telling you, there was a once upon a time in drugs. Anyway, we ain't going to get into all that. But what we're going to do is we're going to bring our special guest, Mr. Tony Muhammad, back on the line, y'all, and we are going to get back into our subject of self-hate, light skin versus dark skin, black-on-black crime. What is it that we can do to stop these things from going on? What is it that we can do to where when a black man is out, a white officer doesn't feel the need to blow his brains out? Let's find out. All right, we got Tony Muhammad on the line, y'all. Let's see what Tony has to say about this. Tony, welcome back to the panel.
All right. So as I was listening to what you were saying, for one thing, I'm part of the Black San Diego Police Department. And I love them, brother. And they would tell us exactly how to carry ourselves, because they tell us, they say, look, the police officer wants to go home, and you want to go home. So you got to learn how to, first of all, de-escalate a situation. Even if that person is screaming at you, calling you all sorts of names, you have to remain calm because you want to go home. So you don't have to get out the car boasting and bragging. That he has a gun. You don't. And that's what you have to realize. If somebody's pointing a gun at you, take the air out your chest. For once, it's okay. Take the air out your chest and calm down and get home, because you may have a wife, a daughter, or a son waiting on you. And for you to pump up, like if you Mr. King Kong or somebody, in the morgue. So we have to learn that. And if you notice, and my hat is off to my brothers in the Nation of Islam, when you hear them speak, they're calm. And when they get radical, they get radical. But for the most part, they understand that if I'm going to do something, I first must remain calm. And that's what we must understand. Don't do that to yourself. Get home to your family, to your loved ones, whoever that may be. And once we learn that, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. And then you was talking about the self-hate part. I mean, my skin lighter than your skin. I'm from Mississippi originally. So I go back once a year every year. And so when I look around, that people call, oh, this is a new Mississippi. This is a, you know, look, the more things change, the more they stay the same. That is just so true. But it goes back to being in the system. If you want your own, you build your own. You want your own movie theater? Build it.
Wow.
You know, and stop complaining of somebody not giving you something. You got to, you put it like this here. You go to school. You get a BS degree, you get a doctorate degree, you get a master's degree. You come out looking for a job. Why?
Yep.
Ask yourself why. Why can't you take that degree, open your own business as a psychologist or whatever you may be, and have people to come to you? Because that's what you're going to do anyway when you join a group.
Yeah.
You know, you join this group, and they're gonna pay you. But people are going to pay them to come see you. So why don't you start your own group with those who are graduating with you? And then you don't have to look for no job. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. Nothing is easy as long as you want it. The easiest thing to do is to walk away from it. The hardest thing to do is to hold on to it. You know, and it's just that simple. To me, it's just that simple because he's a fighter.
No, no, it really is that simple. And here's the showing proof. And I'm gonna put my comedian online next because I know he has a lot to say about this subject because of the things he's had to deal with. But I'm gonna say this: I did exactly that. I went and I got my college education because I wanted to I wasn't satisfied with just high school. I wanted to get college because I wanted to find out the inner workings of how business works in America. And I want to put that out there. And I also want to start some mentoring out here in the Los Angeles area to push more young brothers into college, because finishing high school is waking up in the morning. Going to college is brushing your teeth, washing your face, and taking a shower. And that's how I want the young people, especially the young men, to see going to college. Because, see, what I did was I have a bachelor's in marketing. I've been doing stand-up comedy for 17 years of my life. That's most of my – that's all of my adult life, actually. And here's the deal. Of course, I would get into it with club owners. I would get into it with promoters. So you know what I did? Instead of me continuing to feel this – you know, because promoters and comedy club owners, they have an ego. So what they like to do is make a comedian feel as if they're – you know, hey, look, you're a comedian. You're dime a dozen. I don't need you. You know, if you want to work here, I'll pay you crumbs to work my club, but this is my club. So what I did was I was doing comedy before I got my education. But while I was getting my education, I had comedy on my mind. But what I do now is that's why the shows that I'm producing, I'm producing the shows. Now I'm the owner, the producer, the promoter, the booker. I'm everything. And here's one thing. I listen to Earl Nightingale, and to all my friends out there, make sure you're paying attention to what I'm telling y'all, because I'm dropping a dime on how you, or dime on you on how to do it. Listen to Earl Nightingale, The Stranger's Secret. He got a part on there that says this is what successful people do. If they don't like the circumstances they're in, they make the circumstances to cater to themselves. I love doing stand-up comedy, but I didn't like the way I was being treated by club owners and promoters. So now I still love doing stand-up comedy, so now I'm the promoter and I'm the producer. And people have to come to me and get booked. And I treat people how I want to be treated. Now, what I want to do is I want to bring my comedian on to A. Memphis Point, because he's actually worked a lot of shows with me. He's a Caucasian, and he actually does the black market to an amazing degree. I don't know. I'm going to ask him. I think he won the Bay Area Black Comedy Competition. Everybody, I'd like to welcome Mr. Roger Rod to the panel. Roger, how you doing today, brother?
I'm very humbled and happy to be here, and I want to give my credit to both of you for some very cogent and well-placed points. And as you well know, I'm never short on opinions. And what I'd like to always begin by saying is that I guess I have a problem when anybody uses the word race, because I only think there's one race. It's the human race. The rest of us are all involved in cultures. And I think that the problem is we are not starting the discussion where it belongs to humanity, and that is there is simply not enough responsible parenting taking place, that the floor will rise when families are planned instead of accidental, and that's universal to every color of skin on this planet, is it not?
Absolutely.
And secondary to this is the most ignorant thing that white people ever say about the black culture is how they point out that every other culture's come over here and assimilated just fine. How come they can't seem to? And they have a very shoddy type of way of overlooking the reality of why that is. The black culture is the only one that was brought to this country against their will, and they were intentionally destroyed as a family unit. That is a hangover from slavery that has not been repaired yet. They were intentionally raised with no male figure in the family. And parenting is not genetic. It is a learned skill from parents. And as long as the cycle keeps coming of a woman single raising children, that increases the problem that you have with every other culture that doesn't have a good family structure. You take a look at the trailer parks with 16 kids full of white kids. They don't do a whole lot better, but at least they've got a color of skin that doesn't get them shot every fucking day on the street. So you've got everything stacked against you.
Hey, Brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad, yes. Now listen. This is one of my Caucasian brothers right here.
Oh, he's hot.
That's my
Caucasian
brother right there.
Right now.
Hey. All right, okay, so listen, y'all, this show, I love when I do a podcast, y'all, because it's turning into something I didn't see happening. Let me show you the opinions. We have Brother Tony Muhammad on the line. We have a Caucasian comedian who is very well versed in the black community because he does all of our clubs, very popular on the black circuit, Mr. Roger Rod. And now I want to bring to the panel a young lady who's a close friend of mine, one of my closest and oldest friends. We go back, 10 years. I have a black female that's going to give her opinion on what we're talking about today. I'd like to welcome to the line, everybody. Let's welcome to the panel, Kalisha. Kalisha, what's up, girl? How you been?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm blessed. I can't complain. I can't complain, you know.
I've been listening to the show, and what I realized, like I said, everyone is speaking the truth. I want to talk to the gentleman about the police situation, de-escalation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a school counselor. They actually teach us that, how to de-escalate a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell teachers all the time, you can make things better or you can make it worse. Somebody's going to have
Absolutely.
To back down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's going to be you. Sometimes it's going to be the student. But not all the
mm-hmm.
time. So you have to know how to look at a situation and say, okay, this can go one of two ways. I can make this worse or I can make this better. What can I do to make this better? Because in a situation, you can only change yourself. You can't change anybody else in a situation.
Hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean,
I
being a female, I have not.
Okay,
go ahead.
No, you go
ahead.
I'll wait.
No, I was just saying, as a female, I have not had the same, you know, issues as far as, you know, being stopped and things like that. So I can't speak from that perspective. But, you know, I understand.
Well, I can tell you from a black male perspective, I'm going to be totally honest, and I'm going to really amen what Brother Muhammad said. When I get pulled over by the police, and I want every black male that's within the sound of my voice, especially the ones under 40 and under, listen to this message. This is what Lewis Taylor Smith does when he gets pulled over by the police. As soon as I see them sirens come on, those lights, I pull over to the right, I put my vehicle in park, I stop it, and I don't leave my car on. I turn the car all the way off, I take my keys out of the ignition, and I lay them in the passenger seat. Now, what I just did, when they talk about de-escalation, is I just showed every black male how to put themselves in a situation and I go this far. I put both of my hands out of the left side window, and when the police officer walks up and asks me for my driver's license registration, I then reach over and I get my wallet out of my pocket, get him the proper paperwork, hand it to him, and I leave my hands on the side of the left side of the window. The reason why I do that is because, just like Brother Muhammad said, that police officer wants to go home that night. And don't you think I want to go home too? I got my woman. I got my beautiful girls. I have a career. You understand? I have a wonderful life I want to live. I'm blessed to have a life. So instead of trying to make that officer feel any type of threat, the first thing I do is make that officer feel like, hey, bro, I got my hands up. What do you need, sir? And I don't talk to him in a derogatory way. I don't try to talk down to him as if he's beneath me. I don't make the officer feel attacked. It's funny because every time I've gotten pulled over, and I mean every time, I've gotten tickets, but I usually get a warning or you take care and have a good day, sir. Because once they see that you respect them, they automatically do what, y'all? They respect you. So, see, I got to tag on what Roger said, too. When you're in a home, and it's a female, and this is nothing against my women in any way, shape, or form, because this could be black or white or Spanish or Dutch or Greek or French. But when you're in a home that's a single-parent home and a female is raising a female can't teach a man certain tactics on how to be. We learn by osmosis. Every one of us walk on this planet, like Roger said, we learn by watching our parents. You learn by osmosis. So if I only see the way my mother reacts, and everybody, like I said, and this stretches towards every race of female I know is ready on the drop of a dime to, what, who you talking to? I know you didn't say that to me, and they try to make it like it's just black women. I hate to be the bearer of good news, but that's white women, black women, Spanish women, church women, sinner women, hookers, judges. Every female has a certain, it makes her a woman. I'm not saying anything wrong is wrong with it, but there are certain traits that a female has that make her a woman. When you're raising a man and you're trying to mold a man into how to be a man and handle situations, just like Mr. Bree just said, Kalisha just said. She said coming from a woman's perspective, there are certain things she hasn't had to deal with. So coming from a male perspective, it's certain things that I've had to deal with that I would have to show my son or another young man, hey, listen, if this and that happens, this is what you need to do. And last but not least, we as the men that the younger generation are looking to, we have to be an example to the young men. We can't be boisterous. We can't be attacking. We have like Khalid.
Hey, here you go.
We have to learn to take the learn to take the air out of our chest. So go ahead, Mr. Muhammad. I'm sorry.
I'm giving one plate. Seven. That's your five.
Oh, he ordered up some chicken. Y'all hear that, right? Mr. Mom's ordered him up some chicken. Because, hey, I'm going to tell you, hey, Robbie's going to laugh at this. You know he ain't ordering no chicken.
I'm glad
right?
I didn't write that.
He sure isn't ordering any pork, I'll tell you that much. But, yeah, man, we have to do better. And panels like this, what we're doing with the different opinions and whatnot, it's gonna bring a voice to our battle, you know what I mean, and make things better. What I'm going to do right here, y'all, is go to song and let you all get a break and regroup, and then we're going to come back and continue this discussion. Amen?
Hell yeah.
Amen.
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 Now shawty alive, but she rockin' on me. Climbin' on top and she poppin' that. Shawty alive, but she rollin' and dance, and she swingin' that curve, and she grindin' it. I like it when she rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll, rock. I like it when she rock and roll, rock and roll. It's shawty, she be rockin' that thing.
She compliments my swag, and shorty knows she's bad. Stimulated by the conversation, maybe she's the one. Met a lot of girls, but none like her before. It's gonna be natural that I wanna get to know you more. Shorty, go ahead and put it in my lap. As I give it a little tap,
maybe I wonder what you bring number.
I know you know where I want this to go.
Trey Love is in. You are live on blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife, 310-861-2317. Feel free to call in. Today, ladies and gentlemen, our subject is inner racism, black people hating on black people, something that is tragic, something that is awful. And again, it's been brought up that desegregation was the worst thing to happen to us as black people because we, at that point, started to need to be accepted by a system that didn't want us anyway. So we're now desegregated. So, again, like I have to amen what my special guest Roger Rod said, we're all the human race, so let's be concerned with that. But what we need to do is we need to unify and we need to depend on each other. I hate to, because people say this is a communist way of thinking, but we all need to be equalized, you know, instead of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor. Why? It's enough for everybody, you know what I mean? If a person, they got people out here net worth $1 billion. If you got $1 billion, you can feed the whole country. Why come everybody can't eat? Why can't everybody can't have a little piece of steak or some filet mignon? It's enough to go around. One thing I want to get ready to talk about before we close our show today, and this is a subject that I've discussed with Ms. Bree, and it's very important to me. She's going to tell us about a student of hers who's an unlikely student, a person that you wouldn't expect to be in the position that they're in. I like to call this part of the show, I'm Too Cool to Be Smart. I'm Too Cool to Be Smart. Think about what I'm saying, you all. Imagine that, brother. You all, you know, for those of us who grew up, you know, especially black males, because this, again, this is one of the things that wasn't so affected by the female as it is the male. The brother who was, I remember being in school when I was, you know, first through third, fourth grade, and I would get A's, and I would be so proud to have my A's on my report card and my B's on my report card. But then somewhere around middle school, it became cool to be dumb. Man, I got an F, dog. Yeah, man, I got a D in her class. And that became cool. And it seemed as if the norm was, and this is, I'm talking from my own personal experience, the black male students would pretty much sit in the back of the classroom, rapping, tapping, doing our thing, not really paying attention to school. Not saying that the school was great or even saying that the school was bad. But even still, it was cool to sit back and not pay attention in school, to have that bad boy swag. And my thing is, it's a way to have it, in my opinion now, it's a way to have it and still get your books at the same time. That's why I stand here before you all today holding a bachelor's degree, because I realized within my life that it's much cooler to be smart than it is to be dumb. Trust me. So I'm going to bring Mr. Tony Muhammad in, ladies and gentlemen, and let him give his opinion on this subject. Too cool to be smart. Tony Muhammad, welcome back to the panel.
Oh, boy, you put a lot out there on that one, I tell you. Now, dig this, and like I said, I'm from Mississippi. So a lot of the wording or a lot of our language or our dialect from the South is cut, and then you find people who are not even from the South try to sound like they're from the South, which is really not good, especially when you're going looking for a job, because now you got to learn how to make sure you speak proper English. Now, you got to pull up your pants, iron your shirt, you got to look well-groomed. And now you're finding that looking well-groomed is not where it's at. And that's a misnomer. That's an illusion. Because now you're wondering why I can't get a job. You don't speak proper English for one thing, and you're walking around with your pants hanging down with another. Pull up your pants, and if you got tattoos on, cover the tats up. Yeah, I guarantee you the perception that you give will change, because the person that owns the media owns the perception. And if I put out perception of who you are, that's what people are going to see. The only thing you need to change is who you are, so when people take a look, they can say, well, you know what, there's something different. You know, no, they're not like they all on the video. No, all of them ain't flying like that. You know. And I'm going to say this. I work in a hospital. And I work in a hospital that's in California that is very well known. I won't call his name. But however, I was on the CNIC unit, that's the critical intensive care unit, and I was taking care of a patient who is white. Told me personally, I have done some very bad things to black people. And I was looking at him like, are you serious? And he's looking at me like, yeah, I've done some very bad things to black people. And I didn't say too much more, but he said, you changed my opinion about black people. And I was like, well, how did I do that? First of all, when you came into the room, you spoke to me. Secondly, you gave off a respective aura about yourself. You didn't come at me any. And I would say, no, that's not how we do it anyway. And when I say how we do it, that's not, the conversation has to change. And when you change the conversation, you're able to have a good dialect with anyone. Instead of saying, yeah, man, you know what I mean. I don't know what you mean unless you tell me what you mean.
I don't know what you're thinking unless you tell me what you think. So the conversation has to change. And me speaking white or what? Where did that even come from? Speak
right.
proper English. I guarantee you.
White.
You talking white? You got good grades? No, I'm speaking proper English, and I want good grades so I can get the things in life that's going to help me to be successful, like that college education.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's where that's
yes. That's right. All right, man. Hey, powerful, powerful words and message from our special guest, Mr. Tony Muhammad. We're going to get it from another perspective. I call this my Caucasian brother, y'all. This is Tina, what's my girl, the white chocolate comedy. Tina, the male Tina Maria comedy right here, man. This is my guy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get his opinion on it. Because, see, Tony does a lot of black rooms, and I've talked to some other young comics that aren't black that do black rooms, and they kind of even explain to me how they change the shift in their comedy routine in order to perform in front of black people. So let's just get a little perspective from Roger Rod on this. Roger, welcome back to the panel. Go ahead and give your perspective on what we just discussed.
Thank you for having me back, and a lot of very, as I said, the smashing points are impressive on this show. I think that probably the most difficult thing for a human being to do in this country is to be a black male coming from a impoverished neighborhood with no parental structure and actually pull himself out through an education, because he not only has to overcome all of the ridicule of his peers, he has to overcome all of the difficulty of a school system with no guidance whatsoever and pass up on the trap of saying, here's my choice. I can either get all the pussy and run around in this Escalade slinging drugs, or I can go work for $8 an hour at Taco Bell and work my way through school. That takes an enormously very driven individual. And when I see that,
absolutely,
somebody doing that, that is the biggest accomplishment anybody can make in this country. That dwarfs any other culture's endeavor. It's that fucking difficult to do. And when I see it, I commend it. That's why, who do I have the most respect for in the Seattle Seahawks? Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
He went to Compton.
Yeah,
he could have easily listened to everybody tell him, "Nah, dude, you don't need to get no 4.0. You got skills
right.
on the field." And he could have easily said, "Fuck you. I'm a straight-A student. I went to Stanford and graduated with honors."
Mm.
So I don't care how much he runs his damn mouth. He earned it.
Damn
yep,
right.
He did. He did.
So my
he
point
did.
In saying
All
that
right.
is now I got to come to the other side of the coin, which is something that is very difficult for me to accept, and I know it about me. I don't know that I ever would have been a good enough person if I had been born black to be as kind and giving to a white man as black people have been to me. I'm not from the hood. I showed up 19 years ago at black comedy shows just as scared as any other white boy would be that I was going to get boiled and eaten in a pot by a bunch of fucking natives. I had no idea what I was walking into.
Oh, Lord.
But all it's ever been is open arms, come on in, no bullshit, everyone like Trey been showing me love. Everybody that has got black skin has given me a break when they sure as hell didn't have any reason to. That is why I always have. But now, got to say the other side of the coin. It makes me a lot of times a man without a country, and I'll tell you why. Because my eyes have been opened, when there is a Michael Brown type of issue, when there is a black issue, if I take the black side of it, quote unquote, my own color says I'm an N lover. If I take the issue with black people from a strong point around black people, they come with an attitude a lot of times like, we don't need your help, white boy. So where do I go? How do I help? And this has been happening now for the whole 19 years that I've wanted to show the other side of it. And a lot of times I get the door slammed in my face from both sides. So not poor me, poor me, just something to be aware of.
Can I say something real quick?
Please do.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay. For one thing, we as black people, a culture, has to realize is that whenever we wanted something done, there was always there somebody else there to help. And that goes with any group of people, okay? So when you think of the Underground Railroads and those situations that ran, there was always somebody of another culture there helping. So So you just didn't free yourself, or you just didn't escape to the north by your lonesome, or by someone just coming to get you off the plantation. You escaping. There was always a system in place to help you get through there. And just like he was just saying, well, if he takes one side, he's this. He takes the other side, he's that. But we also have to realize that there's always been someone there to actually lend a helping hand. Now, if he's able to lend a helping hand, well, God bless him. Lend a helping hand. And I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I ain't ever going to stop doing it because all the helping hands have been lent to me. I'm not going to forget that. If I get a couple of bad incidents here and there, what am I going to do? Use the same broad stroke of ignorance and paint everybody the way that one or two people treated me? That's as ignorant as anything. That's like you just mentioned. Here's something that Trey probably doesn't even know, and I'm not real forthcoming with it because of the places that I play. But I used to be a cop. I've been a cop for 3 years. So I get that side of it. I understand very well what's going on. A lot of times what I'm always telling brothers all the time is, you know, you fellas, I know you got enough money to buy Jordans. Why in the fuck are you not paying every single ticket you get? Why are you not having up tags? Why are you giving yourself a bullseye when you already know the deck is stacked against you?
Yep.
Now all they do, run warrants, comes back 29 on the following individual, bam, take them up, hook them up, bring them in. And what are you doing? You sit in the jail cell waiting for somebody to come down and pay the 5 times amount that you could have paid and never been in jail.
All you had to
plus all the other bullshit that can come on top of you getting pulled over, which I would be the first to say, racial profiling is very real. Very real. Not even just racial profiling. It goes to the point where I knew cops that I worked with, they would pull over on hater basis. They see a dude driving a fucking Porsche, nice looking, I get him. For what? I don't know, make something up. There's just a lot of bad people in the world, and some of them become police officers. And just like police officers are like a race themselves. The actions of a few very bad ones paint everybody with the whole image that that's what all cops are like, and they're not.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the biggest thing I heard. I tell you what we're going to do, y'all. Next Friday, I'm doing a show on slander, keeping your name clean. But what I'm going to have to do, because I already see that we're going to burn the rest of the show out, I'm going to have to redo this show. So the following Friday, we're going to come back and we're going to do another segment on this show. Because, Roger, I'm really enjoying your input. But I got to put this next young lady on because she has a motivating story to tell us about one of her student athletes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome back to the forum Miss Kalisha Sabree. Kalisha, what's up? Talk to the people.
Thank you. Again, when he talked about, you know, being too cool for school, yes, I see that. Yes, we have young males, young females that are too cool for school. I say the problem we have now is we have the children of the students who didn't like school, who didn't respect authority. So they're not putting that, you know, they're not putting the respect in. My mom was a teacher for probably 45 years in the school system, the Chicago public school system, no less.
Oh, my goodness.
But the level of respect, now I work as a school counselor. I don't generally have the issues, but the level of respect that kids have for teachers now is horrible. I told students, never would I go home and tell my parents what the teacher said to me, because the first thing my mom or dad is going to ask me is, what did you say first?
Absolutely.
Yep. What did you say?
Yep.
They're not going to come to the school. I have students where I don't see the parents. Unless the teacher takes a cell phone, then the parent shows up. I'm like, we've been looking for you for months. We don't have a working phone number. We don't have anything.
Wow.
But on the other side of that, the student that we currently have as number one is a black male. He plays football. He runs track. He is a wrestler. All around good guy. I have to tell this story that I laugh about. At lunch sometime, I sit with some of the football coaches. And one of the coaches, he's like, I need him to get mad. He doesn't get mad for me. He said, "I on the sidelines, I'm yelling at him, do this. And he's going, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I don't want to hear yes, sir. I want you to go out there and smash somebody. But his level of respect is so high that, I mean, he will tell you yes, sir, and yes, ma'am 100 times in a conversation.
That's good.
Everything you say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And like the guy said, I need him to be a beast on the football field. I can't have a polite football player.
Oh, no.
But like I said, he's our number one. Right. But he's our number one student, but he is the nicest, kindest student. He's cool. He's been I think he was Homecoming King and all of that. He's very popular, but he sets a good example that there are students out there. I mean, I think his GPA is like a 3.9 something.
I have a question.
He's the role model.
Does he come from a two-parent household? Just curious. I don't know.
The funny part is his dad, he was raised by his father, but he's got a stepmother.
Okay.
So, again, he comes from a two-parent household. He had a stepmother.
Yes, now, but I'm saying he's not being raised by his biological mother. He's been raised by a stepmother.
Well, we always,
you know, and
here's,
his father.
Here's my thing. What I always say, my opinion is, there's nothing like a woman's touch, and there's nothing like the strong arm of a man. And I come from a two-parent household. And even though my dad was a bit belligerent, it's still very important because your mother's going to nurture you. You know, Kalisha. Your mother's going to nurture you. She's going to be gentle with you. She's going to kiss all your boo-boos. But your dad ain't going to come in there like, hey, what's going on around here? Who I need to kill first? You know, that's how daddy come in there, though. Daddy comes in there.
Yeah, that's my father.
You'll
be okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, listen, y'all, what I'm going to do is, like I said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do this show again. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give everyone 1 minute to do their final comments. Let's start with Rodney Rod, then we're going to go Tony Muhammad, and Kalisha, I'm going to let you close it out. So first we're going to give Tony Muhammad 1 minute to give his closing remarks for the show. Tony, the floor is yours.
Simple as this. Get up off of your knees, stop praying, and put your prayers in action. And anything you want, anything you need, you'll get it.
Wow.
Simple. Cut and dry. I don't have anything else to add. Get off your knees from praying and put your prayers into action, and you will get what you've been praying for, because now you're putting your prayers into action. Simple. That's my opinion.
There it is. All right, we're going to go next with Roger Rod. The floor is yours. You got 1 minute, sir.
Okay, socialist peace aside, improving black America doesn't mean shit. You said you're going to book me on the 13th of February. I went in on that show. So let's start with that right there. That's most important. This is about show business to me. Fuck all this other shit. I'm a real
The token white guy, y'all. The token white guy, everybody. You got to do it. The token white guy.
It don't make dollars. It don't make sense. Who the fuck do you think I learned that from? On a serious note, the one thing, it was so nice to hear about this young student, and you see what happens when you have a nuclear family. It doesn't matter. I agree completely with Trey Love, a woman and a man. Take a look at what's happened to 30 years of white single mothers raising so-called men, little boys. Look at what we got, a whole generation of pussified fucking Big Bang Theory-looking dorks that don't have any kind of manhood about them at all. You need a man and a woman in the house.
Yeah.
And when the result is, take a look at Trey Love and what he's done. And when you were talking about the last thing I wanted to touch on real fast is that young man that's going to school and not just relying upon his jock strap, there is a very live slave culture going on today in America. It's called the NC2A. Football and basketball are exploiting the shit out of these kids. 99.999% of them don't make a fucking dime, end up with barely two years in college, if that, have no way to graduate. They don't have the money to graduate. They've been exploited for 4 years. The networks and the colleges made billions off of them, and now they're working at Pep Boys for $8 an hour the rest of their life.
Wow. Hey, y'all, we're going to come back and we're going to do this show next week. Not next week, y'all, not next Friday. We're doing the show on Keeping Your Name Clean next Friday. And the Friday after that, y'all, we got to come back and do this again because this is a show that needs to be done. Alicia, you got 1 minute, baby. It's your closing remarks. Go ahead and let it go.
The bottom line, like they said, it's all about doing. You can come from the worst circumstances, but if you want something bad enough, you have to be willing to work for it. Like they say, nothing that comes easy is worth having. It's all about working for it. People always say, I want to keep it real. I want to keep it real. Keeping it real is situational. Keeping it real in the hood may be hanging with your buddies, the slang and all that. Keeping it real at a job is speaking correct English, being respectful of the people you work with, being dressed appropriately. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. Keeping it real is situational.
Wow. Well, I want to thank all of my guests today. This has just been such a dynamic show. Mr. Tony Muhammad, past Grandmaster Tony Muhammad, the Honorable, Illustrious Tony Muhammad, I want to sincerely thank you for coming through, doing my podcast for me. If you are available, I need you to come back on February 6th, and let's do this again, because I think we need to do shows like this not just once or twice, but we need to do it on a continuous basis, because we need to do whatever it's going to take in order to reach the community. Also, I know you have some events coming up out in San Diego that we need to promote and put out there, so that's definitely going to be discussed on the next show, February 6th, where Tony's going to be my guest again. I want to just give homage to my main man, my friend, my comrade, my comedy brother, Mr. Roger Rod. Roger, boy, I'm telling you, I don't know if you know, but you need to check your background, brother. You 1/8 black. I don't care what nobody say. You got some black up in you, boy, because you're bad. You know what you're talking about. You're educated. You're intelligent. You feel our pain. You know where we're coming from. And I'm going to tell you something, as your friend and as a brother, and I know I speak for many of comedians and the crowds you perform for, we love you, we welcome you, and continue to be down with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, next week, make sure you tune in. Tell a friend, the Playboy Comedy will be in. We will be doing a show on slander, keeping your name clean. When someone is, say, hating on you or talking and saying things negative behind your name, this could prevent you from getting a job. This could prevent you from going other places. This could prevent you from getting loans. This could prevent you from getting money. You know, so you have to be careful the people that you trust and let into your life, because as soon as they get mad, if they go and run their mouth and commit what's called slander on you, then that can really mess and cross you up. So we're going to be talking about that next week with our attorney, Aterian Clark. Again, I want to thank my entire panel that came through. This same panel I want next week, because I really like the variety in the panel. We have Brother Tony Muhammad. We have Roger Rob. We have Kalisha Sabri, who is in the school system each and every day. She's been doing this for a million years. I want to thank everybody for spending their time with me today. One more time, everybody, February 6th. St. Anthony's Grand Lodge, we're having fun night. If you like to play cards, if you like to play dominoes, if you want to play the board game of life, board games, it's $5 entry fee. We got food for $3.50. Of course, we're going to have, you know, donations for drinks on hand, you know, but it's kind of BYOB, so do your thing. February 13th, you can catch me at King Solomon Grand Lodge. That's at 2540 North Fair Oaks. That's out in Altadena, California, 9001. It's the zip code, and on February 14th, Valentine's Day, the day for lovers, make sure y'all come out, because we're going to have a slamming comedy showcase. We're going to have Tyrone Burton from Parenthood. We're going to have Mr. Billy Sorrells from BET's Comic View. He was just on that show, America's Funniest, with Marlon Wayans, and I'll be the host myself. Nico, my boy Nico going to be in the building. Hurricane's going to be in the building. It's going to be a slamming comedy show, plus it's going to be a champagne toast. That's at 471 West 41st Street. Y'all make sure y'all come through, man. It's going to be all the way live. It's truly been a pleasure and an honor to speak and talk with you all today. I'm looking forward to the next time, all right? I hope everybody has a wonderful evening. Stay blessed. And this song goes out to all my ladies. I know what you need. Have a good one, everybody.
I need a girl.
A boy needs a girl. Kick it forever.
I'm a gigolo. I can't let my heart show. Will I put a ring on it? You'll never know. The shell to my rock, the shooter my sock, the bullets in my Glock. Oh my God, what she did to my cock. I like when we talk, we share souls. You decided to stay, cause you was good as gold. More than a want, you became a need. Any urge you got, I gotta feed. You thought enough of me to bear my seed. More than a lady, you having my baby. Haters come incorrect, they feel my 380. Tested, tried, and true. For the love of me and for the love of you, I do what I gotta do to keep us tight, to keep us right. I hump all day and I hump all night, and if it goes down, I put up a fight. Look you in your eyes and say I do. Have your girls on the side like, look at you. Straight love is good.
keep them coming to be with me. It takes a whole lot of woman.